Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him. I'm a queer political activist, actor, comedian, self-proclaimed sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by other fabulous minorities and some allies tackling the news, pop culture, politics, media, entertainment, and history with a little self-care, self-love sprinkled throughout, all for our own personal and collective empowerment. Y'all, you are getting double the black and double the gay this week as Kyle Ishmael is back, or should I say is black still, and still living in New York. You know him, you love him, Politico, Pisces, and co-host of the hit podcast House Party. Everyone is raving about it. It is so good. Definitely check it out. Black folks, our dreams have come true. Finally, our story about a boy and his horse is finally being told in the Based on a True Story Concrete Cowboy with great, great performances. Wonderful. And this unlocks, now please don't at me or cancel me, y'all, but I may have beef with Idris Elba, and Kyle helps me get to the bottom of it before I get canceled. The Real World New York just wrapped their 29-year reunion special Homecoming on Paramount Plus, and I tell y'all why it is must-see TV in the age of Black Lives Matter and taking you down to nostalgia land. And then we start getting real as we talk about, you know, more, it's a day that ends in Y because there's more violence against unarmed black men. We talk about the harassment and treatment of Lieutenant Nazario and the murder of Dante Wright at the hands of police. But have we reached a tipping point? And Kyle and I talk about how we are both pretty much not tuning into the murder of George Floyd or trial of Derek Chauvin, depending on how your school of thought is framing it. And then in the main corner, I do a deep dive and take us through how it has been a historic year for anti-trans bills. I've got the numbers, I have the data, and I have, not that we needed this, but the science to show how this is all kinds of fucked up and damaging. How many bills there are, where they are happening, and how you can take action. Kyle also helps us to break down what is the Republican strategy behind this? Why are they doing what they do? Well, Kyle, maybe he's the Republican whisperer because he has the answers, and we have the answers of what we all must do to stand up now. And since we have our Politico Kyle here, we talk about politics, pot, and New York. And should we get rid of the filibuster? And we weigh in on our cis Lil Nas X's controversy, but fair warning is two very millennial older men. But you know what? Go off, sis. Go off. All this, so much more here on an all new Minority Corner. It's time to learn, laugh, and play. Kyle, welcome back to the show. We're in it. You didn't know.
Great to be back, James. Good to see you.
It's very good to see you. If you've ever wanted to see like a hip hop sort of, or not hip hop, but just sort of like black urban cowboy story, you're in luck because one exists. If you want to take like cowboys meets sort of coming of age, boys in the hood meets
father son
black dynamic. Black beauty.
Always with the black
a little
beauty.
Bit of black beauty. I think finally. Finally, a story about a black boy and his horse has finally been told in Concrete Cowboy. Haven't you always wondered and haven't you always wished, like growing up, you see all these stories about little white girls and their horses? Like, what about all the stories about young black boys and their horses?
Little black boys and their horses. Exactly. We deserve horses as well.
We do, and we do. And so you've seen, so you all don't know what we're talking about. We're not just having a fever dream. There is an actual movie called Concrete Cowboy, produced by, what's his name? Lee Daniels. Lee Daniels,
yes.
From his production company. Didn't direct it, but his production company. Directed by Ricky Staub and starring Caleb McLaughlin, who, if you've watched Stranger Things, plays Lucas, and Lorraine Toussaint, Yes. I made sure to look up his name, his character name, because I didn't want to identify him in Stranger Things.
The black kid. Right.
And then Kyle just, you know, making it easy for us.
This is a podcast, you know, so I just got to paint the picture for folks.
Time is of the essence here.
People be black.
People be black sometimes. And but also, and Jarrell Jerome as well, who he'd be winning all the awards. Like, he, so talented. So, Idris Elba, I guess. He's
Of course. You can't. I mean, yes.
I know. This is, I'm going to get tweeted at.
Is there a problem?
But I don't.
I'm going to get tweeted at.
I am. I can already see the ads. They got it ready.
Do anything for you?
You know what? You know what it might be? No, my beef with him started before The Wire, because are you hitting your mute button? Are you testing it?
Yeah, I was testing it. Did it
Stop
work?
Touching your mute button. Do you not want to be heard?
I'm allowing you to speak.
Okay, you don't have to. This isn't like a Zoom call where you're like, oh, let me mute myself and then unmute myself.
Well, I am interested in what you're saying. No, yes.
So you want to make sure nothing gets, you know,
cut. While you were speaking,
Are you trying to mute me because I'm talking about Idris Elba? So you're like, well, let me mute him. I don't want to hear any of this.
You're saying something that you might be getting canceled for, so I figured if I could
and
stop
you're like, you. I don't want to bear witness. Mute him. Sarah, he's trying to. I will not be silent or silent.
Or silenced.
Or silenced. Okay. Mm-hmm. I will not be Meghan Markled. So Idris Elba, so you got me off at a tangent.
Yes,
I don't know if my problem. Beef started with, I don't say it's beef, my indifference or my rolling of the eyes. I know it got intensified because it got intensified because of The Wire. Because of his character, but I didn't watch The Wire until the pandemic. So, I just watched The Wire. But my rolling of the eyes towards Idris started before that. I think, I don't know what it is. I just am sort of like, I don't know. I think because he keeps taking our jobs as an actor, as a black American actor.
So you're one of you know, like British actors coming to America and taking your jobs? You sound like
he's got Bridgerton now. Okay, it's not my fault that your country wouldn't put black people in period dramas because they're trying to act like Scary Spice was the first black person to ever exist, and now they're now coming to terms and like being like, oh yeah, we had black people since, like, you know, we started colonizing. So I just, you know, go back to your country.
Wow. Why are you putting the sins of fucking Great Britain.
Okay, when I say it out loud, I hear myself. I'm fine with Daniel Kaluuya. You know what? It's really just Idris. I love Ray J. Jean. That's fine. He can come over here.
Right. See, exactly. He can get another point. It's just Idris. Makes it clear that you're not making any sense. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Just anyways.
It's just something about him.
Concrete Cowboy. Highly recommend.
Despite Idris being in it, apparently.
It's good. What were your thoughts about Concrete?
He gave a great performance. No, it was good. It was, you know, to your point, like, it's a good, like, you know, kind of father-son coming of age classic, right? Like, you could probably write this script. You could probably guess, you know, what the script is. So it wasn't anything incredibly complex.
But the story, right.
Well, and the thing is, you know, this is, I mean, I don't know.
Troubled youth, troubled urban youth,
right.
Troubled
black urban youth. So all of that, we've all seen the whole stories, right, a million times, but now with horses.
In
Philadelphia. This is, I believe, inspired by a true story. I know that there are true stories of, you know, like urban cowboys, like black cowboys. I don't know exactly if it was in Philly, but I believe it was. And I actually went to an art exhibit in Harlem once. And there was like a whole like art exhibit on these like urban cowboys. I can't remember exactly what the exhibit was called. But yeah, there's a whole history of it. So I know that at least in some part, the movie was based off of that. So it's good.
Yes.
You know, it has that, you know, historical reference and all of that, which makes it.
Because they actually have some of the actors are from the community, the actual urban cowboy community. And they talk about how like this is, and just another thing that anytime black people try to have something, you know, white folks, capitalism comes in and tries to, you know, take it away. And for some folks who were a part of this program, of this, you know, urban cowboy program, it was like life-saving for them. And they actually used some of the actual folks were the actors in the movie, which I absolutely like love, you know, when that happened. And it touches on a few things, which we talked about years ago on this podcast, but like the history of like, there's a myth about like John Wayne, like that's where the cow, like that's what, you know, cowboys are. Cowboys were like Black and Latinx folks were cow handlers.
People. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because it was, there's a few different things that had happened, but you know, for one, it was some ways like the work that white folks didn't want to do, or two, it was like one of the last few jobs that Black folks could have. Or then when the Civil War happened, white folks went to go fight, you know, to keep slavery in, and Black folks were like left to like handle and tend towards the cows. Yeah. And so there's this myth of what the cowboy actually is, that it's this, you know, white person. But, you know, there's a historical context of Black folks, you know, being cowboys, and then two, into an urban environment. So it just was like, I at least think it was like a fresh, yay, Hollywood telling new stories. Yes, it's like, okay, the urban, young, troubled youth, but there's horses now. And now we finally get our Black beauty.
There you go. This one's ours. I don't think we said spoiler alert, so you're gonna, you know, because you
that there's horses and that there's trouble. That oh spoiler alert, that white people come in and try to take shit away. I mean,
a little bit. I mean, like I said, people could write this script. You know, if you were to guess what the whole plot was, I feel like people would be 75% correct.
Paint by numbers. Anytime you're like, you know, drama, Black people, urban environment, you can bet your bottom dollar some white person going to come in.
Some white person try to just
fold their arms across and either try to like ruin the rec center or destroy the car wash,
ice skating rink.
Yes, take away the horses, put them back in slavery, take someone's child away. Always gotta try to go do some shenanigans. So you fill in the blank. Yes, there it is. Before we get into like the real life terribleness, you live in New York first and foremost, and you do. So, Real World New York, the original OG, like reality television series.
First season.
I have to say, and The Root has co-signed on this, so you know it's true. It is like the Real World Homecoming. So, it's been 29 years since the original season of The Real World.
That's a long ass time.
Yes, let that sink in for you. They did a reunion where they had the seven strangers who were picked to live in a house with each other again for 1 week and filmed a 6-episode reunion special. Mm-hmm. Kyle, it is probably some of the most important Black Lives Matter television to like that has aired in like the past year, I would say. Like 100%. Yeah.
So, I have not watched it yet.
That's fair. Yes. Yet.
But
it's on Paramount Plus, so get someone's password.
I know. I got to get your, I'll get your login.
I will, because it's so worth it.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Like, is it really worth it?
Yeah. Because if you go back to like, the original season of The Real World, if you remember, Kevin, for 3 decades, was labeled the angry Black man.
The angry Black
like
guy.
The angry Black guy. And it's so fascinating to come back to it 3 decades later that it's not like the world has caught up to where he is, where most of the house guests, I won't spoil who.
Okay, please, no spoilers.
Most of the house guests are coming in and being like, whoa, Kevin, I am so sorry. You were so right. Like one of the like house guests, her daughter, who he had a very intense confrontation with, I'm just going to say this, Julie on the street. Like you never forget this, this argument about, you know, race out. And there was like the first time that people were having these conversations on television.
On TV,
and, like,
right. Yeah.
On TV.
In like this mixed, you know, like mixed company and
It was such an, like, I think we take it for granted, like, now, but through the lens of The Real World, people before then didn't really connect with people who, like, outside of college, maybe, who were in different groups than them, right? Like, you didn't go to college, you weren't really exposed to people who were different than you. And so through America, we were able to experience this lens of, you know, through watching this. And anyways, like, her daughter is now like an activist who was working with like John Lewis down in like Alabama. Like, you see the ripple effects that he had on her and her awakening. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not everybody. But not everybody. It's interesting because
I remember that fight, though.
She's like, are you gonna hit me? Are you gonna hit me? He's like, why do you keep saying that? We're having a conversation about race. And like, even Heather B is coming through and she's like, you know what, Kevin, I'm sorry. Like, I was just, you know, trying to live my black carefree life. I didn't even want to have these conversations. You were so, like, everyone's come to the table except, you know, one who's ironically named.
Somebody. All right.
Becky. Yeah. You know, I mean, her name is literally Becky. But it's just, I can't recommend it enough. The other point of it, you will have nostalgia, heartstrings. Like, it just will hit the nostalgia train because it's like,
I assume they do clips. Like, they'll cut back to like old clips and stuff.
Production will be like, y'all remember this fight? And they'll like just play it and be like, and it's also like they're uniting during COVID times, and there's just a lot of layers to the whole entire thing. And they play like old school music from that time period. And it just, it felt like a reunion with you and your, like, you'll just like, MTV raised me. So it felt like just like my own reunion.
I will
never, like, that Real World New York, I watched, like, you know, those earlier seasons of the Real World. It just, it has left such an imprint, you know, on me. And so to go back,
my favorite season was Miami.
Mine too. Yes.
I loved Miami. I loved Philly, New Orleans. Those are my favorites.
Those were Boston for me as well. That was a
oh yes, one. Boston. Right.
Boston was really good. Unfortunately, like Paramount Plus, like you'll get all the, because the Paramount Plus owned by, you know, it's Viacom. So I feel like it's our modern day VH1 where it's like programming for like adults, like, you know, they're doing a lot of like the reboots and reunions for programming that was like around our age. Like, they're even doing like an old school challenge that is like old school people who you would recognize from the challenges are like up in there. Beth from season 2 Los Angeles, she's there. Mark from the original season of Road Rules, like, so they just,
those
got
people
me
that
all
like always come back.
Well, and here's the thing. The first challenge almost like murdered everybody because like it was so hard. And they're like, but we're in our 50s. Like, Tech is on there. They're like all in their 40s and their 50s. And they are struggling.
I'm sure.
For next try to kill them. So highly recommend. Definitely get someone's Paramount Plus account. It is. Oh, especially because you'll see this Becky acting up. And you're like, I need every white liberal person to watch this. Because when you say things like, I dance with an African dance troupe, I lost my own racial identity. I can't be racist. Like, yes, it is. But it's like, must see Black Lives Matter television. Like, you have to. It is, I don't want to talk to you until you've seen this.
Send me the login.
Speaking of the Real World, let's get to the Real World. And things have, all consistently stop being polite and always consistently real. So it's another day that ends in Y, and there's more attacks on black bodies that are happening in the midst of the murder of George Floyd trial that's occurring right now. I've been not calling it that because I don't want to.
I don't
remember his name. Like, I hate remembering. I know Dylan Roof's name, and I don't know any of the other folks. I don't remember their names. You know, like, so I've been reframing it as the murder of George Floyd, because it, you know, that's just been my reframe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
I hear you. I think people definitely are on different sides of that, right? Like, I mean, I know that when a killing happens, I think, you know, I absolutely understand the point where people are like, don't say the name of the killer, right? Like, let's lift up the names of the victims, which I absolutely get. Yeah. I think maybe once we kind of get to the trial phase, it's weird. It seems almost as if like that kind of switches in those people's minds. And then
he didn't have a trial. Yeah.
Inaccurate. Like, it's offensive and it's also inaccurate. Right. So people, I think, will jump it'd be like, no, it's the Chauvin trial, and look to like make sure they frame it that way. But I mean, I see your point as well, right? Like calling it like the trial.
Because his name is so, he's haunting me. Like I see his face, it's so triggering. I see everything, and I just, I'll tell you,
yeah, for all those reasons, like I really, I've been removed from it. Like I haven't even been, like I haven't allowed myself to dive in, to keep up with everything. I mean, I get the, like I'll get alerts on my phone, right? Like I'll see stuff on Twitter. But like, I'm not watching it. I'm not like, you know, obviously people are like watching it and they're like live tweeting it and not like, I can't do it. I'm not completely plugged out. Not at all. Like I'm plugged in 100%, but like
I've had to try to keep it as an arm distance, like keep me up. And also because like I don't know what's going to happen, because I don't trust it. They won't be shocked or surprised either way, honestly. And I'm just trying, I'm not trying to hitch my wagon to anything. And in a way of sort of like keeping myself safe of like, I got to keep an arm's distance. The images are incredibly triggering. And then on top of that, I could barely like watch, I couldn't even watch the full video of Lieutenant Caron Nazario, who Lieutenant in his full army regalia pulled into, this is in Virginia, pulled over into a well-lit area, was being pulled over for some, I mean, you black driving, you're going to get, you know, it's,
I mean, yeah, it really,
what's so heartbreaking is like, it's this guy is like full out in his, you know, actively serving his country, and, you know, the lieutenant, gun in his face, you know, this guy is threatening him, and yes, action's been taken against this police officer, but I mean, it shouldn't happen to any human being, but it just goes to show, it's like, dude, like a guy even in his own a military suit serving this fucking country. And it reminds me of I forget, it was either after World War I or World War II, there was like the black officer just got done serving and was like murdered and lynched while wearing like his uniform. It was after World War I or World War II, but you know, and then the other one in Brooklyn Center, not far away from where the Chauvin trial is happening, Dante Wright shot and killed by an accidental discharge.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, like, that's what they're saying. That's the excuse they're rolling with as of now. Who knows what else will happen. You know, the officer, the woman who shot him, she was, like, on the force for, like, 26 years. She's like the union, I think she's like the union president. So like the police union president or something in leadership. So she's resigned, you know, that she's resigned. But like, even with that, like with resigning, she's able to like get her pension and like all her benefits. So, you know, people are like, okay, well, yeah, that's really why you resigned, is to make sure that like you get your money before someone decides to, you know, fire you and you end up having to forfeit that shit potentially. So it's just, I mean, even like, you know, with your point about the lieutenant, right? Like, I mean, we'll see what happens with this case. We'll see if this is one where, you know, they give us this one.
Holding my breath.
But it just goes to show the, like, the indifference, the, like, you know, it really doesn't matter what the fuck you do, right? Like, you could legit be in your U.S. military uniform, and all people will see is your black skin, and immediately you're devalued.
Yep.
You know, you could be a child, you can, 20 years old,
yes,
driving in a car, and the whole pretense for being stopped is an air freshener. Like, number one, why is that a crime? But like, why is it even an offense worthy of being stopped for? Like,
It goes back to how systemic this is. And again, when they just see our black bodies first and what they're being trained, they're supposed to be these officers of the peace. And the things that that officer said, who I think has since been since let go, the one who with Lieutenant Nazario, just the things that he was saying, like, you know, you should be scared and all this sort of stuff. Like, this is someone who has been doing this behavior for so long and been, you know, getting away with it, and just how, you know, intrinsic it is, still doing this stuff, even though like the whole world is literally watching. I do think that we have reached a tipping point of when, again, going back to the role of New York, when, you know, three out of four of the white cast members are like, oh, I am so sorry. And even production, the way that the production crew was the way the edit is, right? Everyone's like, oh, I got a bad edit. Well, they, you know, Becky got the edit that she wanted, or not wanted, or the one that the production was like, this is the story that we're going to tell because this is where we are. At and we're also trying to make amends because we were wrong 30 years ago. And even just watching like how the news is reporting on these situations, right? At least the news that I'm watching, they're aghast where I don't even think 6 years ago, I think there'd be a lot more both sides-ism that was happening. Like it's, I feel like at least less and less, like it's the,
well, I think like you said, like it's reached a tipping point, right? Like where there are like there, you know, I mean, what we went through when I hate even saying using it in past tense because it's just an ongoing thing, but I mean,
it's still happening.
You know, last summer, at the height of the pandemic mixed in, you know, with the marches and the demonstrations in the wake of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and all of these, you know, stories, there's obviously a heightened sensitivity to it. There's obviously a heightened awareness to what's going on. And I mean, it's anything. Have you seen the series on Netflix called Amend?
I am making my way through it. It's a lot, so I take little breaks.
No, understandable, understandable.
But yeah,
it's great. I haven't finished it really yet either. I think I might be on the fourth or fifth episode.
I think I'm around there,
but
too.
But it's really good, and I think it's obviously like, you know, it's things that we know, obviously, but it's adding much more context, and, you know, I love just the thread of, like, how we've amended the Constitution and for what reasons, and kind of like using the 14th over and over again for all these different civil rights movements. But I raise that up to say that, like, you know, one thing that I saw, and just like fucking spoiler alert throughout this whole thing, but
it's only history, but sure. Right. Like, sorry to spoil history for you or your Wikipedia, Google.
But like,
MLK doesn't make it, in case you didn't know. Good God. What?
No. But no, like, just the, like, being able to see the, you know, like, so, the, you know, the civil rights movement of the 60s, what was absolutely a marker was when it was not just Black people marching in the streets, right? That they started to be joined by, at first, white clergy, and then just other white residents who were like, yeah, this is really fucking ridiculous, right? Like, once it reached the point where it got
the
White House's attention and, you know, all of that, like, it started to become a more diverse movement. So that's, I think, really what we saw last summer was, you know, because every time one of these incidents happened, Black people were absolutely out in the streets. You know, I've been out in the streets multiple times over the years for all these different instances. And it was largely a Black crowd, not to say that there wasn't diverse. Obviously, New York is diverse, and we're at the very least a liberal place. And so, you know, you're going to have well-meaning people of various ethnicities coming out to these things. But it was a less diverse scene. But last summer, it was a really diverse scene. I mean, I'd be out in the city and I would run in to demonstrations that were like all white demonstrations. Like, with Black Lives Matter signs and whatever. It was like, oh, you're in a predominantly white neighborhood, so the Black Lives Matter demonstration,
like, great, I can take the day off.
Right. It was like, oh, you guys got it? Cool.
Okay, good. I'm tired. Sure,
I see you come election time and that you're voting for the right candidate.
Right.
But I see that you're out here right now. I appreciate
it. 100%.
But getting to the point of like the tipping point, right? Like, that's, you know, people of color, Black people, we have to like bang the drum, and we've been banging the drum and banging the drum and banging the drum and like trying to march up this mountain, if we're going to use that analogy. It's like, we're finally bringing people along that as we get closer, they're realizing like, oh shit. Like, you know, as they hear the drum banging and they witness and see what's going on, they're like, yeah, no, you're right. And they're joining the crowd, and it's, you know, helping to push the issue even further to the top, which, yeah, I think we are at a tipping point. I think I'm still, and you talked about your skepticism, I'm still skeptical, right? Like, I can't, until I start seeing some, you know, because even with these cases of the officers who will potentially face at least some degree of, you know, justice, they're still one-off cases, right? Like, the thing that we're really trying to lift up, the message that we're really trying to lift up, is that these issues are systemic. Like, they're in the foundation of our country.
That's what the issue is,
and they're institutionalized. And so, okay, great. You know, I do hope that people face consequences for their actions. I do hope that police officers are fired, that they are charged, that they are convicted. But like, okay, great for that one. Or great for that two.
Yeah. Well, I have a little shining ray of, if I can give you some hope, some beacon, some guiding star. So Maryland enacted a historic police accountability measure on Saturday. It became the first state to repeal its powerful law enforcement officers Bill of Rights, which just I'm throwing up of why that ever even exists. And this is helping them to set new rules for when police may use force and how they're investigated and then disciplined. So I think it's like 20 something states have, or 20 something, a lot of states. I don't know the exact number. I'm not your numbers guy. But a lot of states have these Bill of Rights, which again, it connects like police unions, right. And you know, they're like having all these different, you know, and that's what makes,
right? It's like, oh yeah, Bill of Rights, we should all have a Bill of Rights. But it's like, no, not like, I don't need them.
It makes it hard. It allows them to have more protection, right, than anybody, right, else. 100%. So a little beacon, it's the, like, usually, you know, the first state, it's nice, you know, Maryland was also the first state, I think, to create the Law Enforcement Officers Bill of Rights, for that to go through. So I think it's helpful because other states hopefully will follow right. suit. And I think it's going to help in terms of reimagining what the police structure and police force looks like.
And I mean, you know, Maryland has a Republican governor, and so their legislature had to actually override right. him because he wasn't with it.
Yes, he was not. And he's trying to make a bid for 2024. So yeah, we see what you're doing. Okay, I want to switch gears completely.
Real world.
We gotta talk about our sis. We still stay in black. We talking about our sis, Lil Nas X. Okay. and like, Kyle, what? I don't know how to feel, because this is one thing that like I couldn't dive in deep. I saw her and I was like, okay, girl, do your thing, but I don't know how to feel about any of this. Like, what is going on? I did not dive in deep. I just saw peripherally. So here's what I know. So if you could fill in any gaps, I will be so grateful. So I love Lil Nas in existence. Again, I am a man closer to 40 than 30. Mm-hmm. So in terms of like, I'm in nostalgia. So I don't know a lot of the new things that are popping up too much. So I know that Lil Nas X pushes the envelope because gay rapper had that country hip hop song, Old Town Country Road or something.
Sure.
Old Town Road. There was a remix and some like country guy was on it. And people were like, we love it. But then he couldn't get the country award or something. I don't know. Peripheral.
Something like
peripheral,
that. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Just seeing the commercial.
I know it exists. I know there's and some then, kind of something. Yes.
And I'm giving all the snaps. I'm like, yes, go. Love you. But then I woke up and it was like, Lil Nas X has a new line of Nikes and like the devil's blood is in it or something. And Nike was like, what? We didn't make those. And then there was a music video where Lil Nas X is lap dancing the devil and like Fox News lost their shit. So I didn't see the video because I get nervous anytime anybody puts the devil in anything, just because like, I don't need that in my life. It is
I don't need that
enough.
Type of energy in here. I don't need to be inviting it. I don't know one way or another. So keep it away.
I consider myself to be an a la carte spiritualist. Mm-hmm. I take a little bit of y'all. Everyone's right. I take a little bit of everything. So I don't like to fuck with anybody's juju. Mm-hmm. Like
you,
everyone's correct.
I'm very similar in that
so
way.
I didn't see the video. You saw the video. What are your thoughts?
All that shit. Yeah, I have seen the video. I will say, like, I am totally with you on like the way that you described your, you know, kind of perception of Lil Nas X. That's me on like all of Gen Z. I'm like, I don't understand y'all, but I love it. Right? Like, go ahead. All the snaps.
I know Dua Lipa. I like her. I think Dua Lipa is like the newest, latest artist that
I
know
of.
And then
like,
I listen.
I don't know how old.
Because she's like, I think Gaga is like our
generation. Yeah,
that's our last pop star that maybe we had. Or Ariana. I don't know. But it's a miracle when I'm like, I know her. I got all her bops. I got all the albums.
But not just, I don't just mean like artist wise or music. I just mean like them, like these kids, like Gen Z. Like, I don't get it.
The way
they are on Twitter,
the way
they think
about
doing stuff. But I'm with it. Like, I love it.
He's like,
they're whatever.
Because they don't.
I did see the video again because he.
You got the devil in you.
Oh, but now you got it.
You got to.
My thing is like, clearly Lil Nas X is like, this is what these Gen Z kids do. Like, they don't, they're like trolls, but like not necessarily in a bad way, right? Like, they'll use their trolling like for good to show that, like, you know, people should be accepted for their gender, their race, their sexual orientation, their identity, like, you know, so they'll just troll you to make you look silly while making their point. And I feel that that's like, to the extent that you could like somewhat kind of understand Gen Z, I think that kind of is it. And so, but he's lap dancing with the devil to make people go nuts.
And he actually literally did it, because I feel like every generation has those artists that will all, like, you know, figuratively lap dance with the devil. Like, everyone's always dancing around because they're trying Madonna, to push the, I was just going to say Madonna. They're always clutching their pearls. And I think every generation is just doing it more extreme to break down a lot of the bullshit, you know, patriarchal, puritanical bullshit that we have that have created these societies that are literally restricting everybody and making everyone miserable, that you don't need that to be a good and kind person. So,
And what's, I think what's funny to me is that, like, to your point, right? Like, we see this every generation. Can y'all just like, why are you falling for it? You know what I mean? Like,
we see
it's a music video and he's dancing with it. Okay. Like, if you don't like it, don't watch it.
There it is.
But at this point, we've seen this done every 8 to 10 years by somebody attempting to push the envelope.
Yeah.
So just like it and enjoy it, or don't like it and don't watch it.
There,
like,
it is.
But falling into the trap of, you know, like, come on.
I mean, if you really want to see, like, oh, I think the Antichrist is coming, you can look at Trump. I mean, that's when I would have said, you know. All right.
For sure. Look at this.
Look at this little. And I think he got more flack because, especially because he is black and queer. And so it's just a recipe for, you know, pearl clutching by Fox News.
Also, he knows that, you know.
So he's in on it.
And now apparently the song is pulled. Like, it's not being streamed anymore. Okay. I haven't actually checked myself. But apparently it's not on Spotify. But even that, I feel like, could potentially be a marketing thing from his side.
It's just
I'm with. Make your money, kid. I'm with it.
Do your thing. Well, we support you, sis. I won't watch the video because I don't need that in my life. But I just thought, you know what I did? Yeah. I just decided to not take the bait. I was like, great. I don't know what.
And you know what? You didn't like hate on him. You're like, oh, I'm with him. Let him do whatever he wants. I'm with him.
He's on his journey. He's on his pathway. 20 years from now, he's going to be like, ooh, that was, you know, a lot.
Oh, my God. Remember that video?
Lady Gaga wore a meat dress. Like, they were like, oh, she's like, everyone is always afraid of the new up and coming young pop star who is just literally like a toddler, like testing the boundaries of things, trying to get attention. I'm provocative. I'm in a meat dress. always doing their thing. So I'm just like, okay, I've seen this before. Like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Not going to fall for it. Okay. Well, that was fun. And now we're going to get into some not fun things after the break. Uh-oh. There's been, trickery. I just little Nas X'd you. It's like, ooh, we having fun. We dancing. And boom, watch his next album's going to be like, boom, we need to talk about, you know, the rise in anti-transgender laws, which that's what we're talking about next. Minority Corner is supported in part by Ruby Coffee. Ruby Coffee Roasters is a small coffee roasting company based in central Wisconsin, specifically Nelsonville, Wisconsin. Population 191. That's not a lot of people. With the goal of making amazing quality coffee approachable to all. Ruby, as a small roaster, focuses on buying coffee from small farms that showcase truly unique coffee quality. A Ruby subscription sends freshly roasted beans directly to you, or order bags whenever you'd like without a subscription. But y'all know we be liking some subscriptions. This is how we do 2021. Let's go. I had the Noloberto Olea Colombia coffee. It's tart cherry, dark chocolate, molasses, caramel. It was absolutely delicious. Me and my roommate devoured this. And what was so nice, like, this coffee, it has the right amount of punch. Like, I only needed one cup to get through the entire day, which is nice. Cut back and, you know, save money because you don't need to drink and have as many cups as you normally have with some of that other stuff. Not with Ruby. I loved it. It's great. And you can get in on the action by going to rubycoffeeroasters.com and use the code MINORITY to get 20% off your first shipment of any subscription. Let's get caffeinated.
Are you riddled with guilt over your TBR pile?
Are you filled with shame about a book that you just can't seem to finish?
Are you having regrets because grad school killed your love of reading?
We're Reading Glasses, and we're here to help.
I'm Mallory.
And I'm Bria.
Let us absolve you of all your reading guilt.
Stuck on a book you don't like?
We'll help you dump it.
Can't figure out what to read next?
We'll recommend something in your wheelhouse.
Can't decide where to buy your books from?
We'll point you in the right direction.
No matter what you read or how you read it,
we'll help you do it better.
Reading Glasses, every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Next week is the National Day of Silence, which is against, you know, bullying, specifically towards LGBTQ plus youth. And right now, the biggest bully is our government, which I think historically is always true. But specifically towards transgender folks. Mm-hmm. And essentially, really, if we boil this down to, it's an order. Like, why are they doing this? It's an order to remain in power, you know, finding... It's the new scapegoats. And essentially now that gay marriage...
It's gay marriage. Right. It's abortion. Yes. It's, yeah, all these quote-unquote wedge issues.
And now that
gay... You know, these issues that you can, like, divide people.
And now that gay marriage has passed, you know, their focus is on, you know, transgender folks. And, you know, this culture war that they created by the right. They're like, oh, you all are doing a culture war. Ah, y'all created this. You made this up, and now you're fanning the fans for it. And they essentially can't win on policy. So they always try to draw off this idea of this boogeyman, you know, whether it used to be black folks or immigrants or gays, and now they're zeroing in on transgender folks.
Or trans people in the bathrooms and, you know, snatching up your kids and shit
so
like that.
So as of April 7th, 28 states have proposed one or more anti-trans bills. There's been over 82, and this is as of March, so I'm sure it's more. But as of March, there were over 82 anti-trans bills that have been introduced at the state level in 2021. This is the most in history. And the previous record was?
The first thing that came to mind was like 2000, but maybe more recent.
2020. Yes. So just the year before the previous record.
Oh, we just keep
knocking that down the road. So the last year it was 79.
What I tried to think was like big election, like national election.
I see where your political brain
usually
went.
When Republicans would try.
But
to,
last year was a big election year. So 2020.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right.
So you're that right. They did 79 last year already. 82 this year. So, yes. So,
moving
fast. So, about half of the bills in 2021, would bar transgender athletes from participating in schools designated for their gender with which they identify. And those are aimed primarily at keeping trans girls and women from competing alongside cisgender females. And this is, it's a deliberate tactic that they're using in targeting sports. Because if you think about what they're trying to do is make it more personal to folks. So like they feel connected to it. Because honestly, most people don't care. The stats show that trans equality is actually popular. So the Human Rights Campaign, they're not perfect, but they did do, a little bit of research and anti-transgender,
They've been taking a good turn these last few years.
That's again the power of the people. We push them in the right direction. So anti-transgender legislation is actually a low priority, even among Trump voters. Surprise. So in a 10 swing state poll conducted by the Human Rights Campaign and Heart Research Group last fall, at least 60% of Trump voters across each of the 10 swing states say transgender people should be able to live freely and openly. Boom. There's that. And then at least 87% of respondents across each of the 10 swing states say transgender people should have equal access to medical care, with many states breaking 90% support. And then the last one is when respondents were asked about how they prioritize the importance of banning transgender people from participating in sports as compared to other policy issues that they actually
pandemic,
jobs,
economy,
space, anything else like
infrastructure, roads, and bridges.
This might surprise you. But the issue came in dead last between 1% and 3%. That's how priority, like between 1% and 3%, ain't nobody caring about this. But they use this by talking about sports because it makes it seem like it's affecting you. They did the same thing with gay marriage. They were like, oh, well, this is going to make your marriage be less equal straight people. It's going to make it mean nothing. And Americans are selfish as fuck. So like, oh, okay, no, I don't want that. You're not going to tell me.
Right, because you can ask people shit in the abstract, right? And nobody wants to say, oh, no, I disagree with people having rights, or I disagree with people being able to get healthcare.
Or have equality, you know, but then which is what we're supposed to be founded upon. You know, they're like, oh, yeah, I like equality.
Of course. So when you phrase the questions that way, they're like, yeah, yeah, sure. Give the trans community, give the gay community, give everybody, yes, I want them to be equal. But then once, as you said, you frame it in a way that makes them put like a very real like us versus them. Mindset, you know, if they feel like, oh, but if we let them play sports, then maybe your child won't get a scholarship.
Yeah.
Or how would you feel, you know, you're a little Susie playing against little John in a wig, like, you know, and they scare people into feeling like they have a problem that they must now find a solution for, or that they must, you know, protect against. Again, we've seen this
shit
before.
It's fear-mongering. There's a spoiler to this whole entire corner that we're about to dive into, but literally, how does this keep happening? It is fear as a tactic for them to hold and maintain to power, because they don't actually have anything that they stand on. And the direction of the country is actually moving in a completely different direction. If you looked at everything that I said, even the majority of Trump supporters, not even Republicans, but Trump supporters, which are the fringier of the fringe of the Republicans, right? Even they are like, yeah, we don't really, you know, care. This is low on my priority list. And, you know, a lot of these bills are being backed by the same far right groups, and they're writing these bills that are then just, they send out to states, and states just copy and paste.
Yep.
And, you know, they say this is what the bill is going to be. And so I
push them all at the same time.
Yep. And that's why you see so many of these happening at the same time. And most lawmakers backing this bullshit can't even name a single instance where trans participation has created a problem in their state, or even one instance where there is no issue. There's never been an issue. Right. There is no problem. There's no crisis. There's no caravan coming. There's none of this. The killer bees aren't coming from Africa.
There's no widespread voter fraud that we must now, you know, legislate. And
So that's the
Republicans love to create a problem
that doesn't exist,
so that they can slap their solutions onto it.
Yeah. Which their solutions are also like not solutions. Then they're like, there's this problem. And it's like, oh my God, I'm so scared. And they're like, and it's the Democrats' fault that this problem exists. Great, how are we going to fix it? Right. We're going to yell at the Democrats. Like, there's never...
We're going to, you know, cut taxes to the rich.
How are we going to fix it? Oh, we're going to give us more money. That's how we'll fix it. And
give us more money.
And then we're going to send your jobs away. And then how is this going to help us? And then we're going to we'll get some more oil. And then my house is now sinking. Yeah. So let's give me more tax breaks and just raise the sea level.
And then it'll trickle down.
We'll be fine. They stay from their castle high in the sky with no issue. All right. So the next largest portion of these bills, nearly 30 of the, 82 that I said, would prohibit gender-affirming medical care for minors. And in some cases, making these provisions of such care a felonies. And here's the thing. Studies have shown children who are unable to access gender-affirming care experience higher rates of depression, anxiety, and suicide than trans youth. So it's affecting, obviously a negative effect there. And despite medical best practice guidelines from, all these different institutes recommending that states provide gender-affirming care for trans children, several states want to criminalize. These are vital health services. And again, it's like, what are these what are these politicians doing in the business of what these doctors are saying? Here's what's recommended.
Right.
And then you...
Again, it's abortion and all
of it. Yes, absolutely. And it's so weird. I thought they were the party of like small government. Like, we don't want you telling us what. The inconsistencies are maddening. Because it's like, y'all keep changing what the rules of the game are, right? It's like,
You say this is the value and this is the standard, and then you completely flip it on its head for something else.
It's
The Republican Party is, they're a hypocritical party.
And like, it's like, I'm like, okay, we're playing checkers. And you're like, no, we're playing sorry.
Like,
and we're like,
up.
Wait, what? I thought we were playing, okay.
Like, now, I thought we at least agreed on the
now
game.
Now we're playing sorry. Okay. And they're like, no, we're jogging. And I'm like, wait, okay. Let me get my shoes on. Like, y'all keep, and like, we keep being like, okay, we're going to play. Like, they just keep changing it. You're like, we're playing tag, and they're like, I have a gun. And you're like, oh, okay, great. Like,
oh, great. So,
puberty. So, okay, then we look at, like, you know, using puberty blockers, and those are the most common gender affirming treatment option for trans youth under the age of 16. And those seeking deny medical care claim that these puberty blocking drugs given to trans youth have irreversible effects. That's not true, and ignore the fact that genital surgery is not performed on minors. So it's all of these lies. Like, again, when they're like, oh, they're gonna have abortions at 9 months, they're just lies, and it's important for us to dive into what these lies are and unpack them so we can be. Let's reach the tipping point much faster with, you know, trans rights than it took for us to get for, you know, black equality.
Everything else.
Yeah.
Well, and let me say this too. And I know, and like, I mean, just diving into all the conspiracy sounding shit, but like, I think there's also, you know, as you talk about like seeing these same patterns in the same cycle, I think Republicans also in this same pattern, right? Like, is they will push these social issues. They will get, you know, whatever states they control and that they have, you know, whether it's the legislature or the governor or both or whatever, and they'll push these things. I think they do it knowing that, you know, attorneys general in other states, or if they have like a, you know, a Democrat led federal government, that they will, like the DOJ will investigate stuff or things will end up in the courts. And obviously right now, ultimately, when you go up to the Supreme Court, right, like that is not a very favorable place for those of us on the left side of things. So
they're,
I think a lot of this too
is
like,
Supreme Court and be like,
they
well,
push
the
it
Supreme
to
court
the court
said.
Knowing that they have, yeah, and then they'll start getting real creative what, you know, what rights they can really ingrain throughout the entire country, given what the Supreme Court rules, right? And ultimately it's like, it's hard, it's tough to potentially get around that depending on, you know, what constitutional laws the Supreme Court is.
And once you take the rights away from one group of people, it's a slippery slope to be able to do it for another group, you know?
Absolutely.
And so that's why it has to be a solid act, that an attack on fellow trans folks is an attack on, you have to take it so personally.
All March.
Yes, right. It is fuck no. No, we get enraged, angry. You know, there's bills that have passed so far. There is the school sports bill in Mississippi. Governor Tate Reeves signed that. That goes into effect on July 1st. And then recently, the Arkansas bill became the first state on March 29, 2021. It became the first state to outlaw gender-affirming health care for transgender youth. The state legislature overrode the veto by the Republican governor.
Right, the Republican governor actually vetoed it, right, and the Republican legislature
we're gonna go ahead and do this. And so what it is nice, though, is seeing, I think, the more than 55 major corporations. I mean, it always sucks when you're like, well, at least sometimes capitalism's on our side, but that's unfortunately what
right,
it fucking
exactly.
takes sometimes.
It's the whole broken.
You need a
shit,
business
right.
to be able to recognize your own fucking humanity for someone to be like to do something.
Right.
Businesses and money talks more than humans. And so 55 corporations have endorsed a statement against these bills and anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. The NCAA has also, nearly 550 college athletes have signed a letter to the NCAA demanding that the championship games be pulled from states that have anti-trans sports laws. And I believe they pulled out of Texas. Yes, the NCAA Board of Governors said that it would only hold college championships in states with transgender student where transgender student athletes can participate without discrimination, because Texas was trying to do a bill that would affect colleges and university sports in addition to K-12 and a bunch of, you know, child welfare groups. So there is, like, you know, big businesses and movement on that. And
in big industries. I will say I also need the NCAA to have a little more parity between men and women because they're, you know, the women's, was it the women's
yes, basketball Yes, they were like, here's your gym. And it was like some twigs.
Two weights.
It was like some twigs and like, it's a like rock.
And they were like, pick up and put
well,
back
you
down.
Girls are creative. You'll figure it out. And then...
yeah, here's a jump rope. Just jump
Squeaky wheel gets the grease. See, that's what they forget. We all got you live. Smile, you on candy camera. We got you. We will film
you
it.
On candy
we
camera.
Got you, okay? We got you, NCAA.
Putting this shit live on Instagram. Putting this shit on Black Twitter. Okay.
I got a direct line to Rachel Maddow. She follows me. Bam. See what they see how they do, Rachel? See how they do? I got you, NCAA. I got you. See? Got me acting a fool. Put it on blast. And then like the next day, like, oh, surprise, here's like a Bowflex and treadmills. Here's a Peloton.
Yeah,
right. Oh, so you always had that. They're like, oh, you had to like complete bullshit. Don't be Republican and change the rules of the game. Like, let's be consistent. There it is. So I wanted pointing back to this. I was listening to a podcast and I forget the name of but there was this transgender activist and she put this like this thing she was saying, you know, gender conforming ideals and having a society that is telling you what you can be, what you can't be, these are the rules for this group, and especially when it comes down to gender, right. It negatively affects everybody. It negatively affects
everyone.
Right. To live in a society that does that, like we're all actually affected by it, and to the point where I think we're like frogs in a boiling pot of water where you don't even realize it because it's become so normalized. But there are those who are vastly more affected because they're at the center of this pot, and so they're feeling the heat much more. Right. But we're all in this pot, right?
But it's coming.
And
it
is coming. And so, like, also, like, did you see Kid Cudi? I wore a dress on SNL.
The dress? Yes.
Snaps, right? I don't really know a lot about his music. Yeah, tweet at me if I'm... don't give that. But he wore, I guess, in like, it was a... because it was the anniversary of Kurt...
It's homage to Kurt Cobain. Yeah.
But just like a moment like that, I'm like, wow, that's fascinating. Like 5 years ago, mm-hmm. I don't think a hip hop artist would have done that, you know?
Maybe like 10 years ago. I mean, I will say like, I am like, these things matter, like the symbols matter. And I mean, Kid Cudi has always been a little like a bit gender bendy,
right? Yes.
Like more open or, you know. But I do kind of feel like, I don't know, like, are we past that? Like, I mean, I think it's fine if he truly is like, this is an expression of my art, or like, you know, I'm doing this. I mean, because he's paid homage to Kurt Cobain in other ways in the past as well. So it's, you know, it's in fitting with what he would do. So, you know, that's perfectly fine. But I'm just like, I feel like where these more surface level things really mattered, because they were like, it was a good visual to kind of shake the table a bit and be like, hey, there are other things. There are other people. There are other ways to be. I'm like, are we past the shaking the table phase? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like with the Lil Nas X, right? Like, okay, he's gay. Can we move the fuck on? He wants to shake his ass on the devil, but he's only doing it because he knows it will still make y'all feel away. So it's like, this shouldn't make y'all feel away
and
anymore.
I probably would have like, never known that he, because again, closer to 40 than I am 30, I could have missed the beat that he had even dropped a single, and now I know, right? You know, that like, and so it got my attention to steer clear, because I don't need that in my life, but I'm not going to put him on blast. I don't need that juju, y'all. Life is hard enough. well, for it, but I did appreciate, I think, given the context of everything that was happening, I was like, okay, Kid Cudi, like, yeah, like, shake, I think, you know what, shake the table, because some people are enjoying their meals a little bit too much or sleeping on the table. Wake up, like, wake the fuck up, I think. So, you know, and throughout history, there is have been attacks on gender and sexuality and anti, you know, cross-dressing laws and trying to get people to conform to certain, and people been trying to break out of that for centuries. Going back to one of the first laws in the United States, 1848, Columbus, Ohio instituted one of the earliest ordinances in the United States in 1848, forbidding people from appearing in public in a dress not belonging to his or her sex. And so again, like people trying to even dress in a way that is closer to what their actual gender identity actually is. It's been layered.
Which also, like, even that is.
Get out of my business. Right? I thought the, like, whole point was.
Society decides that a dress is for a woman or that a skirt, mm-hmm. let's say, right? Like society in this day and age has decided that a skirt is for a woman, but previous societies were like, skirts are for men.
Which I right? think makes like, sense. So I can breathe a little. I'd like to breathe a little bit, you know? Let me breathe. My jeans and the jeans just, and you know what? I don't know who do I blame. Is this? Oh, we did this. Our jeans got too tight, millennials. I should have passed this off on Jen. We went from like JNCO baggy ass jeans to like, let's wrap it up and like tape.
It's like real tight.
Just give me some spandex, man.
Let's paint these jeans
off. Where's the balance? And then 1863, Memphis, Tennessee, during the Civil War. Hundreds of women had disguised themselves as men to fight, and experts say that laws were passed at the time to keep women in their place. Now, I think in Tennessee, these were like Southern women, so I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Where are you going there?
Well, these Southern women were dressing up as men so they could fight for slavery, not fight against.
No,
okay, you know, I mean, what I don't, yes, you know, whatever right. side of the fence you are on, you should be able to express yourself however you are. You can be a Caitlyn Jenner, that's fine, you know, we don't agree politically, but you should be able to be you.
But go ahead and run for governor.
Try it. Okay, well, get over to political talk, because these Republicans got me chafing. So wrapping this up, you know,
that's why you need a skirt.
Yes, so I could just y'all can't be chafing me. The policing of identities and gender expression, you know, it's who we are, and it's unnatural to do so. And so everyone should be feeling the heat and pressure of this. This is an attack on everybody. And so find that fire that this is not okay. And they're using a specific group and community to be scapegoats.
Yes. And let me make this point too. And then this, again, another plug for Amend on Netflix. But like, you know, it reminds me of even so like the women's rights movement, right? And like how pivotal Ruth Bader Ginsburg was, you know, before she was a justice and when she was an attorney, you know, fighting these cases and taking these cases to the Supreme Court. Like the reason why she was so successful is because, you know, with these like gender-based cases, she had male clients, right? Like,
oh, right, yeah.
If you discriminate against somebody based on gender, that doesn't mean that you are only discriminating against women. It means you're discriminating on the base of gender, right? So you can discriminate against men as well on the basis of gender. You might be doing it because in your mind, you're a misogynist, right? And so you see women as one way. And so you restrict things with that, you know, because that's the way you see women. But in so doing, like we said, this shit affects everybody. By putting women in one box, you are thereby putting men in another box. And so there could be a case, you know, where a man is alleging that there is gender discrimination. And that's how she was able to be so successful in bringing these cases, especially to the Supreme Court. That was all a bunch of old white men. They saw this old white man, another old white man being aggrieved. And they're like, yeah, you're right. That's discriminating against his gender. And then she was like,
and it goes back
to gender.
Goes back to Americans are selfish as fuck, so you got to make it about how it affects you, which is why them. I'm telling all you listeners, this affects you, no matter if you are cisgender, transgender, whatever your gender identity is. It affects you, and so you know, it really, if you think about it, it's upholding a part of the caste system, based on gender, it's a constricting, oppressive society. So what can we do? What can we do? Next steps, we need to make sure that the Equality Act, that gets passed. States that pass anti-transgender legislation, they suffer economic, legal, harm. So keep putting pressure, do the boycotts for the businesses that aren't listening. And the gay community also needs to stand up, because,
hold,
you know,
there
is no gay liberation movement of the late 60s or 70s without transgender folks who are leading the charge, who threw the first heel. Thank you, Marsha P. Johnson. Let's go. Educate yourself on these bills. I said there's 28. There's a chance that you're listening to this and your state has a bill that's either up or has already been passed. So get to work on reaching out to your local legislators to, you know, say, excuse me,
and elect
stop
new
this.
Better.
Speak on it. Speak
in
on
fact,
it.
Not even better, but not even better. Elect the trans people as your legislators.
There it is.
Elect black trans women as your legislators. Elect people who, like we said, people need to feel that this shit touches them, right? Like, lift up the voices and give power to the people who have been impacted by this shit. Give power to the people on the margins because they're the closest to this, and they know what it feels like. And that's really the only way that we're going to have change is when people who are impacted are leading the movement. And that's not just in the streets. It has to be, you know, in the halls of power in government.
100%. Volunteer and donate to trans organizations. We will also be linking some there in the show notes. So plenty of work to do. Just when you thought, I don't think anybody ever thought, like, whoo, time to take a break. Storyblocks is dedicated to being the world's best royalty-free stock media subscription service with an ever-growing library of stock assets, including music, images, sound effects, and more. They have affordable subscription plans and tools, and with Storyblocks Unlimited All Access Plan, you can get unlimited downloads on everything in their library. And even if your subscription ends, everything you've downloaded is yours to keep. In 2020, Storyblocks launched Restock, which is an initiative to increase diversity in their library. Storyblocks is committing to having 20% of their footage with people contain Black, Indigenous, and people of color by the year 2022, with plans to expand their scope to include more underrepresented groups in the future. Explore their library and subscribe today at storyblocks.com/minority. That's storyblocks.com/minority.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation. Every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
Kyle's political corner. What's up in politics? Boom.
It's all fucked up. It's not all fucked up.
You like that? Oh, okay. You're saying that because you're in New York and you're high right now, aren't you?
Okay,
stoned
but
out of
you're
your mouth.
In California and you've been high.
But it's like one of those.
For years.
It's one of those. Yeah. See, for me, it's like when you go to Europe and you're like, oh, I'm gonna drink, and they're like, but I've been drinking since I was 16,
true,
so it's not
true,
a big
true.
Deal. You know, like
it's just like it's whatever to you guys
pot,
now.
It's just always it's like, been here. Sure. Not a big deal. I'm sure in New York, everyone's losing their mind. 7-Eleven's out of business.
No, they're everyone is booming.
Okay, get
but
that
yes.
money.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, but so marijuana was legalized in New York. We've been fighting for it for a few years now.
I mean,
in the
Cynthia Nixon tried to
My
get
God.
Y'all on board.
No,
for
God,
a long time.
Reparations. Yeah, let's not. I mean, this ain't got shit to do with Cynthia Nixon. But I say that very like purposely. Like, there are some really real badass women. Women of color who've been leading on this issue, you know, for many years. The majority leader in the assembly is a Black woman from Buffalo. She carried the bill. She's been leading on it for a long time. The Senate sponsors a woman, you know, advocates, Black women advocates have been pushing this issue in New York. Black scientists, Black women scientists have been leading, you know, on this issue. As well.
What have they been saying? They're like, my data shows that it is not a gateway drug.
Weed is great. I'm a doctor.
Was that,
thank you.
I feel like that was Lieutenant Uhura. You guys, if you were not watching this, Lieutenant Uhura just like beamed in and was like, Doctor Spock, it's good. Hi, Spock. Make it so. Yeah. Make it so.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Okay, well,
but yeah,
that's
so
good.
We finally passed it.
Congratulations.
Legal New York. Thank you. Thank you.
The economy's going to be booming.
Yeah, hopefully, right? Like, but hopefully in a way that is restorative. You know, and that's in part why it took as long as it did to get it done here in New York is, you know, the legislators of color, leaders of color, advocates of color said, we ain't doing this shit if it's just going to be like a windfall for more
John Boehner
white men, you know, like people who, yeah, the people of the world who were either responsible for or stood on the sidelines, you know, during the whole quote unquote war on drugs, where black and brown people got the brunt of it.
Well, which I've dubbed the war on drugs, which was the war on black and brown and poor people. We gotta, you know, rebrand that. That's what
I'm yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, there's several of those wars. Yeah.
You're like, which one?
But yeah, you know.
I mean,
yeah,
even
which
the
one?
Yes, the ongoing even Lil Nas one. X getting caught up in that.
Never ending. Exactly. The battle of Lil Nas X.
Oh, I'll never forget the battle of Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X. He went down to hell.
He
did.
Oh, yes, he did. With his crotch.
You should just go ahead and watch that video,
okay.
By the way.
See, I feel like this is like The Ring, and then, you know,
once you watch it, that's it.
Fox News was right. Well, I'm glad that is going well for y'all. Can I just ask you I have political questions, and I need you to weigh in and tell me what is going on. First of all, I texted you in a mad panic because I was watching all this back and forth about, you know, I was like, yes, let's get rid of the filibuster. And then they're like, don't do it. Don't push that button because once it's gone, it's gone. And then the Republicans could use it against us. What are your thoughts? Filibuster or bust? It had me question. I gave pause, which I don't think there's anything wrong with having pause. And then as an educated citizen, asked questions.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You asked
and now I'm asking you questions. That's
flurry of text messages.
I said the people got questions too.
Right. Well, so yes, the people who got questions. No, I mean, my thing is, and this is like always my motto, and I know it doesn't, you know, it's a bit idealistic, but to me, like good policy should be good politics. To me, good policy is good politics. Now, the timing may not always work out, right? Like good policy may be good politics in the long run, maybe not necessarily the short run because, you know, for whatever reason. But ultimately, I'm like, the only way that Democrats are going to find success, right? And so I said Democrats finding success, so that clearly is referring to the politics. But the only way I think that Democrats are going to find success is if they advance good policy. And I think that we've seen, I mean, we just came off of having Donald Trump as president. Like, he broke every norm out there. He
broke the rules. Fuck the game. Fuck us trying to play the game. He just like burnt it down. He's like, no games. Like, we're not, there's none of that.
Yeah, no games. Right. We're not doing that. Right. Like, I mean, you know, people don't care about the process. Like, you know, the man was impeached twice.
Right. Or like when they're like, oh, we need bipartisan shit. Like, nobody cares about that shit. Nobody cares.
Yeah,
get something passed.
Nobody cares, girl. Like, just get some shit passed because we know, like, look at where we are now with quote unquote Obamacare, right? Like, nobody wants their Obamacare taken away. Nobody wants people touching their shit. Like, you might have to call it something else so they don't realize, but they don't want
that
thing
done. We call it healthcare. Everybody gets it. Everybody got healthcare?
You know, and this, everyone gets it. You got it? You got your vaccine? You got your this? You got your that? Yeah, okay. But yeah, no, I think that what we've learned in these past kind of 10, 15, or even multiple decades, but, you know, and this is the same theme again, like, we've seen this shit before. But, like, I think it's, we need to do good shit, and then we need that good shit to like become real in people's lives. Mm-hmm. We need to communicate it, but we also, people need to feel it, right? Like, it can't just be, you know, we prevented something bad from happening.
So abstract.
That's hard for people to wrap their brains around, you know, or it can't be, we passed this great law, but it's going to take 4 to 8 years to be implemented.
Right.
Like, nah.
Checks in right? hand, what, like, shots in arms. Like, look at this.
Right?
We got a,
shots in
there's
arms,
a bridge
in hands,
and you got a job.
Bridges,
like your school is
right,
fixed.
You are working.
Kids went
exactly.
to school.
Your yes.
Your debt gone. Like
school,
actual tangible, right. tangible things.
Exactly. Student loan debt got right. Exactly. And I mean, look, I get it, right? Like there, we're going to be at different points in time and in history and all of that, where like there isn't a huge, huge need for tangible things, but like, especially
right.
at a time when there is a huge need for tangible things, Democrats
right.
need to deliver those tangible things because
right.
they are good policy.
And it's what people
what
actually
people
want.
Need.
All these policies.
People need money. They want it. Right. Like you said, you know, we were talking earlier about like polls and what it shows, like these things, so many things, these things are popular. And again, not just with people who consider themselves Democrats, but people who,
right.
who consider themselves Republicans, even people who consider
yeah.
themselves Trump supporters are on the side of this policy. So it's like Democrats, if they want success, mm-hmm. fuck a filibuster.
Right.
Like nobody gives
well,
two shits about the filibuster, right? Like if you said that gender issues were 1-3%, I'm pretty sure the process by which
wait don't you get rid of
like
I love that filibuster. What am I gonna do with my t-shirt that says I heart the filibuster? Oh, I'll never forget the filibuster.
I love the filibuster. Right.
Oh,
I'll
never forget the
Wednesday.
Filibuster of 1996 in March of 1990. Oh, what a filibuster it was. Yeah, you're right, nobody is like I heart filibuster. And if anything it
how else will I pay my bills?
If anything, it makes it harder for government to actually be functionable because you can't actually, no side's actually ever able to like show this is what happens when we're in power, and each side's able to say,
this
and people are
do.
Able, yeah, if the Republicans are able
for.
To, because the theory
right.
really is if the Republicans were in power and they did all this terrible shit, we'd be able to be like, see, look what they did. Now put us back in power. I have
see?
A,
what's
I have
that?
A different thought that I'd like to
right.
do, and this might, I think that we should, and this is a long stretch, but if we're imagining a new world, I think we should abolish, mm-hmm. let's abolish the Senate. I think it is such a waste of space and time. Go with it. Because I think the House of Representatives already, you're like, keep talking. I think the House of Representatives already does a great job of representing people. It's closer to the district. I feel like the Senate was a way to appease those smaller states back in the day. The Senate has been such a roadblock. We've already passed so much stuff in the House. And listen, if the House it becomes Republicans, then okay. But again, let them pass shit that nobody really wants or likes. I just think having two houses, I think a lot of countries don't have two houses. They just have like the three different branches. And then it's hard for anything to get done. That's my thought. Get rid of the Senate. It's a waste of time and space. All that money, too? We would save money.
All that money. That's possible. I'm sure we'd still find a way to spend it somehow on government shit. But no, I hear that. You know, my thing is like, I think like we're all on this earth for X number of years. Like we shouldn't be so afraid about just like,
yeah, it's true.
Fucking some shit up, you know, shaking the table up and being like, all right, let's revisit, let's reimagine.
So we should little Nas X this
like,
shit
like, all
up.
That.
We should shake our crotch.
Yeah, just troll this shit.
In the
just
face,
troll this
put our crotch
in the devil's face.
Okay. Man, Gen Z got you.
But, I mean,
you
so,
were inspired
like,
by that
I'm
video. Little Nas.
Like, I'm, you know. Like I said, I don't get these kids, but I love it.
Hey, 20 years of Afghanistan,
yeah.
We're pulling out. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
20 fucking years? 20 years.
Right.
Like it's like one of those things you don't even fucking realize.
Right.
20 years have we been in Afghanistan. We're finally pulling out. I had a friend of mine who just posted from high school. We were in high school together when 9/11 happened, and he's been to Afghanistan so many times. He had this picture of like his son,
oh
last time he went,
see,
helping him pack,
shit.
His like 5-year-old son,
like
helping
we were
him
in
pack
high school.
For his last trip to Afghanistan.
Now,
like,
folks among us, our age, who have like kids and like they grew up in the military, going overseas, fighting this fight to the point where they have kids. Like, that's crazy. Yeah, 20 years is a long ass time.
Right. And he's finally, he's like, I'm glad that he's
until
like, my
there's
son
next
doesn't have to go fight
he,
this war, but he's like,
right,
it's only a matter
exactly,
of time that
exactly.
my son has to go.
But yeah,
fight
but I mean, on the domestic
have.
Stuff, again,
yep.
you know, shots are in arms. I got my vaccine. I'm fully vaccinated. You know, checks and accounts,
I got mine too. I got that Johnson and Johnson one on Sunday. I was the last. I was the last person. They were like, boop, boop. And I was. They were like, we don't do that anymore. I was knocked on my ass for 24 hours. That Johnson & Johnson.
A good at least 24 hours. 24 hours. Like 24 to 36 hours.
I was done. And it's like, I couldn't even. Yes.
Yeah.
And then like, it's weird because it's like a light switch. I was like, oh, I'm fine. It was as if like, it wasn't like a, mm-hmm. it wasn't like a was gradual, like, oh, I was sick the other day. It was just like,
yes,
oh,
I
I'm fine.
Fever,
it
was
body
I was
aches,
freezing,
chills,
like, my teeth
fever,
were chattering,
like, the shit
but
was
I was
doing
like,
its
sweating.
Work.
Oh, so bad. Yeah. I couldn't move. I was just so tired.
Yes. It was no, I couldn't imagine, like, that was like a little taste of what COVID could have been. I couldn't.
It got my ass to sit down and, you know, thankfully I was able to take it.
Absolutely.
Like, I took it a Saturday morning. And the crazy thing is it didn't hit me until about 8 hours later. So, like, I went for a walk with my mom and it was only on the walk back home.
Yeah.
And this is about 8 hours later. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, this walk took a lot out of me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, well, you know. Right, exactly. I was like, oh, you
ooh,
know,
windy. I guess I'm closer to 40 than I thought.
And, you know, whatever. But I'm like, but I've been working out. Like, I've met, you know,
it's been
like,
a while since I've been walking around.
This is the first one I've ever done in a year. And I was like, oh, shit, I did get that thought.
Fact check. Fact check. Here we are. Fact check, y'all. All right. So I want to talk about Concrete Cowboy. We're like, oh, we think it's based on a true story. Or no, we knew it was based on a true story. We weren't sure if it was actually based on a true story set in Philly. Yes, it was. Concrete Cowboy itself is a fiction based on Greg Nieri's YA novel, Ghetto Cowboy. The film is heavily inspired by the real-life writers of North Philly, which are the real-life Fletcher Street writers who have writing clubs who've been mentoring young writers since the 40s. So circle back. We might need to dive deeper into that for a whole new other episode. I did want to circle back and talk about the murder of Dante Wright as more facts are, you know, coming out, that the officer who shot him, she was a 26-year veteran who at the time, you know, she was training other folks. That was her job, was she was this trainer. And literally as it was happening, she was training two other folks. And she, one, should not have been stopping and harassing Dante in the first place. At no point should she have either needed to, one, use a taser. Two, you know, a taser is a much different weight than a gun. Three, that Glock that you have to really squeeze it intentionally. It has a safety on it, and so it's like a two-click click on it. And then you always place your handgun on your dominant side, so you always know where your taser is to your gun. So all that to say that this, you know, accidental, you know, whatever, you were a veteran, all of these things point to the systemicness around this whole entire situation, right? And this is someone who is training other folks, training them to harass people like this. How many white folks have ever been shot or tasered for having an air freshener hanging up in their window? I think we need to reframe these murders that we're seeing. These are legalized murders of Black men and women, legalized harassment of Black and brown folks. These are akin to modern day lynchings that we are seeing. And that's the frame that we need to look at and see these as they're happening. And the last thing I just wanted to do is I wanted to say rest in peace, DMX. We had meant to talk about him on this episode, but it didn't happen. But man, rest in peace. What an icon. And just grateful for the amazing music that he gave us. Oh, this comes from our editor, Sarah Brown. Lil Nas X's music is still being played on Spotify and iTunes. So, or Apple, is it Apple Music? It's still being played, so that's all good. All right, well, speaking of, thank you so much to our editor, Sarah Brown. You are amazing. You are wonderful. We appreciate you so much. A big shout out to our social media manager, Sam Jackson, who's also amazing and wonderful. And a big shout out to all of you, our Minority Corner listeners. Well, one other thing before we go. Minority Corner's 300th episode is right around the corner. And y'all, we are doing a live video episode. Yes, through Oasis TV, we're doing a live episode with Aneke is going to be my guest co-host. We're going to be celebrating our 300th episode. So you can tune in and watch us live. There will be more info to come. So mark your calendar for April 27th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Tune into the live Minority Corner video recording. I don't think there's something else you're supposed to call it. Live stream? Yes. All right. I'm a podcaster. I don't know these words. Tune in. 300th episode. Catch us live, but you can also catch the episode in podcast form that following Friday. And as you know, the Maximum Fun Drive is coming and we want to hear from you all. So why did you become a member? What does this show, specifically Minority Corner, mean to you? Share your story by emailing us at memberstories@maximumfun.org or call the Google hotline at 323-601-8719. We want to hear from y'all. All right, that's going to do it. Thank you all so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together we're the majority. Love y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.